Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross.
So we're absolutely delighted in this episode to welcome Susie Chan, one of the most recognisable people in the UK running community. Susie took up running in her late 30s, initially to be a bit healthier, and built up from half marathons and marathons, and then went on to compete in some of the world's toughest ultra marathons and endurance races. We followed Susie for a while, and when she started to include her rescue dog Manny along with her training, we were really pleased to see him enjoying free running alongside and in a dog fit harness too. She's an inspiration to many, and we're delighted to welcome Susie and hear firsthand about her run training and trail adventures with Manny. So welcome, Susie. It's great to get you on the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for including my beloved rescue dog Manny. I have three dogs. But he's probably the one I spend the most time with because of all the running.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think we see him on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Honestly, I get recognised. I was running with him the other day and he was running ahead of me and somebody said they recognised me from my dog. I know where I stand. I
love it. It's a bit like when you meet people for the first time with dogs. I always remember the dogs' names. Don't remember the people.
Yes.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, we're big fans of, well, all dogs, but we have a lot of clients with rescue dogs. So,
yeah.
Big fans. So, anyway, I wanted to say welcome, Susie. It's so lovely to have you with us today. So lovely to chat to you. And obviously, can't wait to hear all about a bit more about Manny. But just going right back to the very beginning, you know, I'd love to hear, you know, how did you first get into running? So I know you've got a bit of a backstory around that, you know, and what's been your motivation to keep going?
So I started running. I had no desire to go running at all myself off my own initiative. And my younger brother basically wanted to run a marathon. He had a sort of bucket list of things he wanted to tick off in his life, and a marathon was one of them. And he booked in to do, I think it was Athens Marathon, and then also booked into a local half marathon as a training run, and booked me into it, basically. I didn't want to do it. I was like, I couldn't even run at all, didn't own trainers. But actually, I agree, because I was in a bit of a rut anyway, and I thought, you know what, maybe this would be good for me. I was a smoker, I used to drink quite a lot of wine, I was quite unhealthy, and I thought, I was in my past 35, I thought maybe I'd probably need to pay attention to my health a little bit more. And I started running, training for that half marathon. And that's how it all started. And I turned up to that first half marathon utterly terrified, because it is quite daunting when you're not a runner to be in that environment. And I had like a underwired bra on. I had like gym shoes. I had no clue what I was doing.
I was going to ask you what you were wearing, because... that is quite daunting. Any new sport, it's always like, what tech do I need? What gear? You know, and it's quite daunting. And you just see people running around a track and looking pro.
No, none of that. I had some gym shoes on, which were just like, they weren't even running shoes. I had an underwire bra on because I didn't own a sports bra. I had a T-shirt or a vest on from H&M, just like a normal T-shirt. I think everybody's got, you know, people who have taken up running a little bit later, and I've always got that first race photo where they're just wearing anything from the cupboard and nothing from the sports shop. So yeah, I really didn't look the part at all, but I did it. You know, I finished the race. I was really near the back of the field, right towards the end, but I was just delighted. I just couldn't believe I'd run a half marathon, and it was a trail half marathon, and I didn't even know what that meant. So somebody was like, are you looking forward to the trails? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I've been running up and down the road to Tesco, like the nice flat pavement, and it was stiles and mud and puddles. Honestly, it was an absolute baptism of fire. But and I was just terrified. And then slowly, I'm like, okay, I'm doing it now. And then at about 9 miles, I realised, I mean, I was so sore, but I realised that actually I was probably going to make it. And I got a bit of a second wind then. And but when I crossed the finish line, it was honestly, genuinely one of the absolute highlights of all of the running I've ever done, because I just didn't believe I could do it. I finished and, you know, I was dining out it for ages. I loved it. And that was it. It just started the running. Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's that runner's high at the end, isn't it? It's when we're not really enjoying it while we're doing it, it's the bit at the end that you go, oh my gosh, that's why I'm doing it. So you're in your 30s, your late 30s, and you've suddenly done this one half marathon, and then you finish that, and then suddenly you think, actually, I'm just going to carry on and look for another event. What happened then? So did you look for longer distances or?
No, I did a 10K because I thought, oh, I could do that now. I've run a half marathon, another half marathon. And then I think quite a pivotal thing that happened was I sort of joined a local fitness club, it was called Commando Fitness. It was all like burpees and running down hills and just because I really enjoyed, you know, the sort of buzz that the exercise gave me and everybody was quite new at it in that little club. And then they all signed up to a marathon. And I was like, well, I've done a half marathon. I can run a marathon. And that happened. This all happened very quickly after that first race. And then I joined my local running club. And so I went from a half marathon to a marathon pretty quickly. And then, I mean, then it just really escalated. I think after that first marathon, it went on to sort of reading about, I didn't even know what the word ultra marathon meant, but I was buying Runner's World, you know, I was really deep into the running. And in Runner's World, they had this article about a race called the Marathon des Sables. And I didn't even know that you could run across the Sahara Desert. Why would people even do that? But then I was absolutely fascinated. And so I'd sit at work in my lunch break Googling it, and I just became fascinated with this race. And I thought maybe it was notoriously hard to get into with a very long wait list. And I thought, well, maybe yes. if I sign up to the wait list, I'll get some information. Because back then, I mean, it wasn't even that long ago, hardly any women had done it. And there wasn't a huge amount of information other than what's on the website. So I signed up to the wait list. And then about 48 hours later, had massive palpitations because apparently I'd found out most people get in from the wait list because so many people drop out in the lead up. And then I was terrified. That was it. I was a real, I spent 48 hours in an absolute panic about it because I'd only ever run one marathon.
It is amazing. I mean, I'm just curious, why did you decide to go for it? Was it the challenge in itself or, you know, why that particular event?
I didn't know there were any others. I mean, it was literally just the first one that was put in front of me. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. Let me find out more. I mean, but none of it was by design. It was mainly by accent's probably a bit strong. Just sort of, it wasn't out of ambition or design. It was just, I was just really intrigued by it, I would say. And then when I found out I'd probably get in, I panicked and started training like I would be getting in. And then in that journey, I did my first ultra marathon, which was around the Isle of Wight in June. And I figured if I couldn't run around the Isle of Wight in June, I'd probably die in the Sahara Desert.
that's amazing. And in fact, Gail's just asking that question because she's got that on her bucket list.
I don't think so. I mean, listen, I get enough sand in my shoes running along the North Downs Way. I can handle the Sahara Desert.
That is the story of my life. Where I live now is very, very sandy. And actually, fortunately, where I live it was really sandy, so it's perfect terrain. But the beauty about ultramarathons, and I'm not trying to convince you all to do one, but you should all do one, is they are actually a lot easier than they appear on paper in, not necessarily the Marathon des Sables, but you just take your time. It's no pressure on pace. You just take your time. Listen, it's really learning about time on feet. And once you're comfortable with that, you know, it's just a grand day out.
Well, I take it you had a decent pair of trainers for that one.
Absolutely. And then you have to have special kit. So you have something called gaiters, which are stitched on to your shoes to stop the sand coming in. So you can't really do that. I made the mistake one year. I went out. I've done it four times now and they just invite me back because I'm part of the furniture. And one year I went as a press team and you'd get to run a day. And I was like, oh, I'll be fine without any gaiters on my trainers. And my feet were in absolute shreds after about 4 miles. So... So there's lots of specialist kit.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I've watched a few documentaries on it and it just looks like an amazing event. And do you hold the record for doing it for the most amount of times?
No, there's people that have done it multiple times. I think in the UK, I'm the female that's done it the most times. I think there's people that, there must be ladies out there that have done it more than me. But there's people that go back year after year. I mean, every year, they love it.
Yeah, so you say you've got the record in the UK for the Marathon des Sables. So how many times have you run it?
So I think I have the record. I don't know anybody else that's run it more. And I have put that information out there and nobody's come back, said I've run it more than you. So I think it's correct. I've run it 4 times. I've been out 5 times. I usually go out as press now and sort of help the Brits get over the sand dunes.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. And I think you hold a few other records as well, don't you? There's the treadmill record, which I was reading about the other day.
Well, yeah, so that's a world record I broke. I don't hold it anymore. It went viral, actually, and I knew as soon as it went viral that it would get broken, because in the world of ultra running, the stats aren't massively impressive. However, it was a very tough day. So that was the world record for running the furthest distance on a treadmill in 12 hours, and it was disgusting. I was fine for 9. The first 9 hours were absolutely fine, and then after 9 hours, I got seasick. Because it was a very large treadmill, and to satisfy Guinness, they had a lot of rules and regulations, and one of which was a particular type of treadmill, and it was just facing a wall. And so I was sort of running, and then my eyes weren't registering the movement. And after 9 hours, I was being very ill, but I did it.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. I mean, you, from being a non-runner, and I've been quite late to running, but there's no way I'm going on to do the Marathon des Sables or any world records.
Give
either.
It time, so Jeanetta. Give it time. You never know. Honestly,
it's not just about physical strength at this point, is it? It's about mental, you know, endurance as well. If you're running on a treadmill for 12 hours looking at a blank wall, I think it's more than just keenness to keep fit.
There are a couple of things I've done which have been considerably more about mental strength over fitness, and particularly I think that's where ultras become really interesting, because when it starts going over a certain distance, females perform as well as men, and in fact some females out there, they hold long distance records, and in some ultra marathons they actually beat men, so there's something really interesting to be said about how much your brain and your sort of mental strength carries you through. And one particular thing I did, which was as well as the treadmill, which is quite a hard sell, I ran around a 400 meter track for 24 hours, which on paper doesn't sound great, but I have to say I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed moments of it anyway.
I did actually read about that, and didn't you have like an entourage that came out to support you and some sort of covering the late shift?
Entourage is a bit strong. I mean, it was my husband just stood next to the car, and another friend turned up. It was in London, and you sort of have your own, they're called crew, and you do these long races, people to help you. And my poor husband, who just tolerates me, was just stood by the side of the track holding out like sugary cups of tea and, you know, sort of, I don't know, jacket potatoes and things as I sort of ran round. And I took some videos of it, actually thinking, oh, this will make a good video. And actually, when you play them back, it's just the most depressing looking thing, because you're going so slowly. It rained an awful lot. So my husband. And then I had a couple of friends that came out to cheer me on at the end, which was really, really welcome, actually, because it was getting tough.
Oh, that's what you need, a really good support crew around you, isn't it? So, but obviously, and part of you coming on here today is to hear about the dogs that are your support crew now and obviously run alongside you when you're out. Tell us a little bit more about the dogs that share your life.
Oh, I love my dogs are my world. I have got a daughter, by the way. My dogs are my world. I love them so much. I got my first dog is a bulldog, and it was my husband and our first dog. I'd never had a dog before. His name's Rory, and he's an English bulldog, and he's incredibly characterful, absolutely gorgeous, very lovely dog. We call him the recovery dog because we ran a lot, and we didn't really want to come home and have a dog that needed, you know, a lot of exercise. We just wanted one that needed a nice recovery stroll and a cuddle and some carbs. And he was the perfect dog for that. however, he's a very nervous, dog. And it was clear he would probably benefit from a bit of company. And so we got, we started on the rescue dogs then. So we got a rescue dog, a little, gorgeous little Frenchy pug cross, we think. Lovely dog. She's called Peggy, very, very tiny. And those two are like absolute peas in a pod. They just They're just so close. Always sit next to each other. If they walk into the room, they have to sit next to each other. Very, very sweet. Really adorable together. Fitted very well. Perfect. And then my husband loves dogs. I mean, he really loves dogs. I love dogs, but if he had his own way, we would have a lot of dogs. And then what happened is at the very start of lockdown, I always catch him looking at dogs on the internet. I'd other wives catch her husband looking at other things on the internet. I catch him looking at rescue dogs. And he was looking at the very beginning of lockdown. I was like, what are you looking at? And he was looking at this rescue dog who was in Romania. And he was like, oh, look at this dog. He's had a really hard life. Can we get him? And the truth be told, I said yes, because I thought it's not going to happen. We were literally going into a global lockdown. It was March or April. Yeah. Literally borders were closed. And I said yes. Think, oh, yeah, he looks fine, you know. And then... And then what happened was he applied, and then 5 days later, this dog was in our house because he was already booked to come back to the UK on this sort of bus of dogs.
Brilliant.
Rescue
dogs.
That
backfired a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, so he'd had a foster home all arranged, and I didn't know this. And 5 days later, this terrified, terrified dog, I mean, he'd obviously had a really hard life, was just cowering in our back garden, and it was actually quite a shock because my other two dogs are incredibly easy and very affable. And this dog had obviously had quite a lot of trauma in its life and was terrified, really, really terrified and traumatized. And I set about spending my lockdown coaxing this dog out of its shell. And part of that was, I mean, he hadn't even been in a house, I don't think. He didn't know how to walk upstairs. He had never seen a toy. So we started this. We had a dog behaviourist come in to help us. And we started this journey of rehabilitation. And part of that was it became very clear quite soon that he loved to run. He really, really loved to run. And once we were happy, I think about 4 months into his journey, he was very comfortable around us. Still was a bit frightened of other people. But really, really liked to run fast. And so I think at that point I contacted Lara at DogFit. Yeah. So I've got a dog and he really likes to, I think he really likes running. And you were all incredibly helpful with some pointers and tips and, you know, what sort of things to get and where to start, really. And we started with a 1 mile run. And honestly, I hadn't actually at that point seen a dog so happy. He absolutely loves running. And that was the start of it. And we then built up the running. And in my head, it would be perfect because I've got three dogs now to have him be able to be strong enough to come on some of my training runs with me in the morning so I don't have to run. And then, and he's my little running buddy now. And actually, I can definitely attribute him for getting my mileage up last year because whilst I was building up his mileage, I'd have to go out for my run, whatever it was, 6, 8, 10 miles. And then I'd come back and the dog would be like, have you been out running? And I'd feel guilty and take him out for a couple of miles. And, and so I was running these sort of huge mileage because, and I'd say a good third of them were down to me building up the dog.
Oh, they are the best personal trainers for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just thinking that. And also, I mean, when you said, obviously, his backstory, I mean, it's terribly sad, but it's amazing how you've managed to turn him around. And what part would you say the running has played in helping with his sort of adjustment? I mean, how is he now with other people? Have you found that's helped?
Yeah, he's absolutely fine now. We're outside. There was definitely a transition period where I'd have to put him on the lead if he was near other people because I just wasn't sure which way he would go. I mean, he was always barking, and then it was barking sometimes, and now he's fine. He's still learning because of lockdown. We haven't had anybody in the house, so he's still. He still, if somebody comes to the front door, he still doesn't really like it. So that's going to be another, as soon as people are allowed back in, that's going to be another thing which he's going to have to get used to. And I hope it hasn't been left too late. He's sort of unsure when people come in the garden, but we're getting there with all those other things. But certainly the running, I would say, has created this huge bond between us and out of all the family. I mean, we all love him and he loves all of us, but I can control him better sort of verbally when he's out. He's a very wild creature. And so I can only really let him off the lead when I know we're not near a road. He's got an electronic tag on, so we know where he is. We can track him all the time. Bless him. And he is good, but when I've only ever had two dogs, which are stay incredibly close, and just, you know, just have a little sniff around and just just stay next to me, whereas he just will run off if he sees a squirrel and I won't see him for 5 minutes, which at the start was terrifying. but now, you know, it's a two-way thing. And now I trust him a bit more. And he always finds me, comes back out, pops out of a bush somewhere. But it's definitely built up a really great bond. And actually, in terms of sort of instruction and all those things, it's really created, it's been great for him. Really, really great for him. And I will only ever see it as being part of his life running. And so will he.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's brilliant. I mean, we as a company really encourage people with rescue dogs to take it. Does help increase the bond. It obviously helps get them properly exercised. And I know you do obviously a lot of free running with him, but he's in the dog fit harness. But even with people with dogs that they can't let them off the lead, if they're using the Canicross kit, it means that they don't have to worry that they're going to lose them. But it's amazing, and it's lovely to see it. Follow him on your Instagram, and we'll tag you in the show notes as well, so people can take a look at him. So, and obviously you're building up with him as well, as you quite rightly said. You know, you can run the distance. It's you can't automatically assume that the dog can do that from the off. But what kind of distances are you running with him now?
So in an average week, I would say he probably goes out 3 or 4 times a week. He would go out every day if he could, but I just because I run it, I'm not sure, you know, he's only got little legs. He's a bit of an odd, he's a peculiar looking thing. He's very peculiar. And I find that actually he's better if I keep it to about 3 or 4 a week. Most of those would be, I'll do probably a couple of 4-milers and maybe something up to a 6 or 7 mile. He has come out, he's done 9 miles a couple of times before and then been quite well rested afterwards. But yeah, I'd say we average. He's now easily run 5 or 6 miles is no drama for him at all. And I am actually a little bit jealous of how easily he goes up hills, because he makes it look incredibly easy. And he runs up, and then sometimes he'll run up, wait, and I'm taking so long, he'll run back down again. And he's on, I'd say he probably does, maybe, I don't know, 15 to 20 miles a week, including walks and things.
Yeah, it's because he's got four-wheel drive.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's definitely four-wheel drive. They've got an advantage over us.
He's very low to the ground and he's got double the leg strength. So, you know, that's my excuse.
Do you have any ambitions to do half marathon distance with Manny?
I do, actually. I really do. But I'm just a bit unsure about... He seems sort of done by about 9... When I say done, he sort of slows down and, you know, he gets a little bit tired at about 9 miles or so. And he normally runs more than me. With sort of darting in and out and things. So I would like to, see, but because we are not entirely sure how old he is, the vet, I did get clearance from the vets to take him running for his first sort of few runs. I think he's somewhere between 1 and 2. And I don't know, actually, maybe you can help me if there's an ideal age just to bring it up a bit more, but because he's probably a teenage dog, I just wanted to keep it low for another few months.
I've run my dog's up to marathon distance, but I built up gradually, and they were running from 2 till 6, 7 years old, even older, depending on the breeds. But I just built up gradually with them and entered some really lovely coastal trail races, non-pressure ones. And we just sort of took it and we took breaks and made sure, you know, stop for water and give. And I mean, that was actually going to be one of my questions, because When I do the long distances with my dogs, I normally have to think a little bit differently about nutrition. But what do you do with Manny? Do you have a little routine?
Yes, anything really over about 5 miles, I'll have a snack with me, just something small for him to eat. And then normally around here, there's enough sort of water for them for me to find him some water. But in my car, I've got I've got the towel, I've got a big water bottle, and I've got a bowl. And normally, the first thing he has is some water when he comes back. He does seem to get quite thirsty. But I've also got, you know, I'll carry water myself for him. And so sometimes I'll have a little rucksack, and I'll be fine running, you know, 10 miles. But it'll all be for the dog. Just have a little bit of water and a snack. He does need it, I think, after about sort of 6 miles. He'll happily go a little bit longer. But yeah, always have water in the car for him for the end of the run.
We run with dogs of all shapes and sizes, and size is kind of immaterial, because we've got some really small dogs that are pocket rockets, and some of the bigger dogs, you know, are actually a lot slower and kind of run out of steam a lot quicker. So, but the one thing we do say to people is that don't run your dogs under a year old because their growth plates are obviously still developing. But, you know, if he's between one and two, gosh, he's got his whole career.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, you said that because I knew it wasn't, you know, it's not great to run very young dogs. And I did take him to the vet and ask for a sort of age. And they said he's over a year, he'll be okay to run. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And if you do take part in an event with which you would have to use Canicross kit because they make you keep the dog on a lead. So I guess at the moment he's doing double the distances because he's free running. Whereas if he runs with you, it's a lot more controlled. But on the other hand, also he is taking a pull into the harness. So makes you run a bit quicker. Certainly makes me run quicker when I've got my dogs attached than if I'm just running on my own. And that's part of the thrill and enjoyment. And as Gail mentioned, you know, we've done quite a few kind of coastal trail events, off-road trail running events, and sometimes it's just you and your dog and it's amazing. And I swear the dogs kind of just, they just know that they're competing with you. They are kind of at an event with you.
So. I'm waiting for Parkrun to restart just to get him used to that sort of Canicross and running with people in environments. So I think so he realizes a distinction between us, just me and him going out for our run that we have, and something a little bit different. So if he's on that harness. So I'm waiting for Parkrun to open. It's a very popular one for dogs, which I'm hoping is a good thing. And it's also incredibly, it's literally four. It's 400 meters from my front door, so you know, what's the worst that can happen? We'll go out for a run and see what happens.
Susie, I'm sure there's some Guinness Book of Records world record that you and Manny can break between you. I'm sure you've got your sights set or something.
Is that 14 minute 5k, isn't it? That's what you've got to do.
I mean, he's going to have to be quite considerably bigger dog to pull me along to get anywhere near that.
But it's interesting, we were talking about the kit earlier, the Canicross kit. I've got dogs, a bit like you mentioned about Manny, that are prone to run off. I've also done events where there are, you know, you're going through fields and there's sheep around, especially on some of the, like, Devon coast, for example. And that's where it's been a godsend having my line, just to see, or keep them close. And yeah. But so on the subject of races, I believe Manny did his first virtual challenge with us.
He did.
Yeah, how did that go?
It was great. It was really good. I was so proud of him. like a school mum with his little rosette. it was great. Well, we were, as you know, as mentioned, we were running those sorts of distances anyway. We made a date. We made an event of it. I got a couple of friends, because we were in lockdown, I got another friend and her dog to do it. And on the same day, at the same time, we started wherever we were doing our little 10K with our dogs.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. We've got quite a few. We're running the challenges throughout the year and supporting a different charity every single month. And so it's a different colour rosette and a different colour medal that goes out. And some people have been collecting the whole series, which is going to be great. But obviously, and hopefully we're coming out the other side of lockdown now, but what helps you keep motivated during the whole of last year, really? Is it running with Manny? And obviously you're running on your own as well, but what were your tips for helping keep yourself motivated?
100% that dog got me out the door, 100%, because he loved it so much. And I mean, as I think, as I mentioned, there'd be times when I think, oh, you know, I don't know if I'll run today, I'll just do something, or I'll go, I've got a treadmill, like I'll just go on the treadmill, which is just seemed a little bit of an easier option. And now, I mean, I can't even go near a pair of trainers without him going bananas. So much so that if I'm running a long distance, I mean, my neighbours must think I'm bonkers. I will have to get mainly dressed outside the house so he doesn't. So the guilt was, you know, he really loves it. And I would take him out. And it honestly, and I said this literally only the other day, my husband and I, we went out together with the dog, and just seeing him so happy is I love it. It's a joy. And he's definitely brought joy, a lot of joy, into my running, where normally I'm just running by myself. It's been quite, you know, isolating lockdown. I'm normally quite a sociable runner with my friends, and it's just been me and my dog mainly. And it's just been a joy. We put the world to rights on those runs. You know, well, I'll chat to him like he's giving me all the answers. It's lovely. And we've explored new places. And I think he really likes going somewhere new. And so because of him, I've got, oh, let's, you know, I'm talking to him like he's, you know, he's next to me. Like, oh, let's have a look at this place. And then we get the car or whatever. We'll run there somewhere new, find a new trail. And so he really, really has added a huge amount to what would be a really tough year. And I just can't imagine being without him. It's really, really joyful seeing an animal as happy as that. Yeah. He's very distracting as well. He's very distracting for the miles. So yeah, I'll be like, I think I've got like 7 miles or whatever. And because I've got the dog, it's fun rather than sort of me looking at my watch thinking, oh, is that another hill or whatever, you know. It's joyful.
Yeah, definitely make a big difference. And I think even outside of lockdown, just having dogs and how much, you know, they're so good for your mental health. But yeah. And so I just want to ask as well, because we've obviously been talking about lockdown and how you've managed through that, and it's been quite difficult without being able to go off and do loads of these challenges and break some world records. So it's also probably given you a lot of time to plan, hasn't it? Have you got any things lined up?
No, I haven't. Well, I'm not sure. I mean, that sounded very vague, because basically what's happened is a lot of races have rolled over from last year, and I there's some been cancelled and dates have been moved, and I really ought to sit down and have a look at that calendar, because I bet it's all in the same month or something. I've resisted booking too many things, in purely because, you know, it's quite disappointing to have something in the diary and have it be moved or cancelled. So I'm waiting until the fabled date in June where we are free, and then I'll probably, you know, start adding things in the calendar. There's been not a lot in concrete, I would say, much like everybody else.
Yeah, it's probably some good advice, really, because it's a disappointment of having to rebook everything. So for anyone listening to this podcast, what advice would you give them about increasing their distances? So if perhaps they're at the moment just doing 5K, but want to kind of push things, what would be your advice?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just don't be, just don't overthink it, I would say. Just go out and just extend your distances each time. And it's perfectly okay to stop and start. I do this a lot with my dog anyway, just because that's the nature of running with a dog, I guess. You know, you'll be quite lucky. Well, maybe you experts probably get a full clean 6 miles without stopping, but it doesn't work that way with me at all. And I quite like the stop start. So I would say it's just about being a little bit consistent. So have set days, or have, you know on your Monday what your week's going to look like. And just edge up that distance ever so slightly. And also, I would say, really crucially, just acknowledge how far you're coming. You've come along on your running journey. It's quite easy to look and compare and think, oh, I'm not as good as that person. But actually, you know, if you look back and remember your very first run or your very first time running with your dog, and the difference, your difference is well worth celebrating. So
that's actually really good advice, Susie, because when you answered the question right at the start of this podcast, and you said your most memorable event was the first one you did, I think we probably all think the same when you think about what's been the most momentous.
Yeah. So Manny's here.
You can't see him on our podcast, but Manny has joined Susie to say hello, and he's very gorgeous. He knows we're talking about him.
Okay, my other dogs are coming in now, so they might make a bit of a noise, but
don't worry. But thank you so much, Susie, for joining us for this episode. And we really hope that you might come and join us, you know, for a run with Manny.
100%. Definitely. I feel like
a fast one.
No, that's fine for me. 100%. I think it would be really, really great just to get him on the Canny Crossley to prepare us for our park run debut.
Yeah, I mean, and park run is amazing for out there. Obviously, you need to check your local park run, that not all of them do allow dogs, but majority of them do. And we're, you know, really appreciative of that. And the other thing, when you run on a park run, you have to run on a shorter line. That's one of the rules for park run. But we look forward to meeting Manny and all going out for a run together. So Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you also for all the advice that you've given me on my dog running journey. It's been really, really helpful.
Lovely. Lovely to talk to you, Susan. Good luck with everything. Nice to have met Manny as well.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canny Cross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy Canny Crossing.